Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, qualitative diaries. Could using mobile apps to collect participants' experiences become the new norm? Today's guests are Laura Radcliffe and Leanne Spencer from the University of Liverpool. Laura starts by explaining what a qualitative diary is.
Very basically, it's just writing something day to day over a time period, and it can be done in many different ways. We all use a diary probably somehow in our life anyway, but it's just the qualitative element of that is a little bit different, maybe compared to what some people are used to from diaries you use in research, which are usually quantitative. So in quantitative diaries, I guess you might, you know, answer the same set of questions every day that are on a Likert scale of how you feel. But in qualitative, it's more like a usual diary that, you know, you might just keep for yourself.
How can getting people to keep diaries about their daily activities and experiences help researchers like you?
I've been interviewing for quite a while as well, and interviews I think are fantastic. But what you miss in an interview is that kind of as it happens thing. So you get a nice story reflecting back on maybe experiences over time. You get an amalgamation kind of feelings over time. And you also get the effect of how people are feeling at that particular moment that you're talking to them. And that can kind of colour everything they're telling you that's about that's come before. Whereas if you get them to keep a diary, you're getting more in the minute as it happens. So it reduces that kind of retrospection, which can mean that you lose some of the details of the information. So if you think about trying to think back in an interview to like, how did you feel at a particular time in a particular event, you might have a vague idea of how you felt and what you were thinking about, but you probably can't remember every detail of exactly what you were thinking and exactly what you were feeling and even the detail of exactly what was happening. Whereas the nearer to the time of it happening that you can record that and write that down, the more kind of information you're going to get. And it also lets you track kind of within person change over time. So obviously, again, an interview, you're talking to them at one point in time. You might be talking to them about, you know, different things over time, but you're only talking to them at that one point. Whereas with the diary, you're obviously seeing, you can see, you know, maybe they how they've changed one day to the next, how they're feeling about something. Maybe there's a pattern to how they're changing. Maybe it's that they don't always feel the same way about a particular thing. Maybe one event that's happened knocks onto the next day or the next day and affects how they're feeling on those other days. I think one of the things that Leanne's learned as well is that you don't get the same kind of data you get with an interview necessarily. And I think people are a bit surprised by that. With a good kind of qualitative open interview, you're getting the real depth. Whereas in diaries, you're probably going to get a little bit less depth in some ways because you're not there to probe why, and, you know, go a bit deeper. We have to just kind of remember you might not get the same kind of depth. What you are getting is that in the moment experience and the change over time, and you can't get that with an interview. It's definitely not better than an interview, but it is different, useful information and insights.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, I mean, you've done some work using what might be described as conventional methods, getting people to write their experiences in a paper-based diary, for example. But you've also been trying to develop a new mobile app to capture the same sort of information. Tell us about what you've been doing there, Laura.
Yeah, so for ages, I've been a bit, little bit frustrated, I guess, in some of my research projects. So I've used written diaries, I've used audio diaries, I've even used photo diaries and all of these different kinds of diaries. And there's, while I really like them and, you know, I do get very excited about diaries, they do not come without lots of difficulties and challenges. So in the app, we're trying to reduce some of those challenges. So for example, getting people to give them back to you. So you've got to try and make sure you know, they can return. If they've got a pen and paper diary, you've got to physically meet them again to get that back. There's a danger of them losing it. There's a danger of all kinds of things going wrong in between. And also, you know, we kind of thought with the idea of an app, we like the idea that they could use different kind of ways to capture what they were trying to capture. So they could audio record, or they could type in text, they could take a photo. So it gives them kind of like multimodal kind of options as well, which we think is important. So yeah, that was kind of the reason for trying to develop an app. And we also thought, you know, imagine carrying pen and paper around all the time. whereas people have their phones on them all the time. So we thought, you know, we're kind of missing a trick here.
Yeah, so an exciting opportunity to use new technology, but I'm guessing there have probably been some challenges along the way in getting something like this off the ground, because, you know, great that you know, the technology is there, as you say, and an opportunity to tap into it. But there's a lot to think about, I'm guessing, as well.
The first challenge is funding. Normally, so we have internal funding within our university, and obviously there's also external funding you can apply for. But normally they're looking for, you know, a research project, very specific research project, and they're looking, you know, maybe to give you some starter funding that leads to something else. But they're not used to seeing funding for an app. So it's trying to fit a funding application that's usually for something else to an app. Luckily, we have some understanding colleagues at Liverpool School who let me pester them quite a lot, explain repeatedly what I was trying to do and why it was important. So we did manage to get in some internal funding to get it off the ground. And then the other issue is, once you've got funding, or maybe at the same time, you have to have someone who can develop the app for you. Myself and Leanne do not know how to code at all. We've been learning. So that led to, first of all, finding someone appropriate, and secondly, the knowledge gap, because we don't know necessarily the language that the app developer was coming from, a completely different perspective. We're using completely different language. And at first, app developers we spoke to, or people who might do it internally, didn't understand the element of qualitative. They were thinking more quantitative app, the different coding languages that between like iOS and Android, apparently they have to create two almost completely different things. And we did want it for both phones, because obviously you can't predict what phone your participant's going to have. And then it takes a long time because you have to send all your screen ideas screen by screen. Lots of conversations where, again, you're not necessarily communicating in the same language. You have to pilot it and get people to test it for you, and then find all the technical glitches and report those back. Privacy policies and additional costs. So, for example, to publish on the App Store on iOS, it costs £100. Do you need a checklist, or, you know, just a step-by-step guide or something, which there wasn't.
Yeah, maybe that's something you guys can develop going forward, because you're clearly pioneers in this area.
We're hoping to do that for our presentation. We're hoping to put something together that's a little bit practical to help people not make some of the mistakes we made along the way.
Moving on to you, Leanne, you've also worked on developing an app as part of your PhD research, looking at mistreatment at work. So before we talk about the app itself, let's just find out a bit more about the issues that you were hoping to get to grips with in your research.
My research is looking at the experience of mistreatment at work, so things like incivility, workplace bullying. And when I started this project, I just found myself getting increasingly frustrated with the existing literature, and that it was just so atheoretical and just seemed to be very empirically driven in the aftermath of mistreatment, so trying to predict antecedents and outcomes of mistreatment. But when you actually try and delve deep into the literature and try and figure out, well, why is it that certain employees find themselves and label themselves as mistreated and others don't? Beyond sort of personality-based literature, there just wasn't anything exploring that. So what I wanted to do was to explore the process and life cycle of mistreatment, so how people make sense of this experience as it evolves over time, and how this leads to particular outcomes. Because, again, all that's really known is that when someone is mistreated at work, they basically quit the job. But I wanted to look at how this experience evolves over time. And then also, because all the literature is quantitative based, stuff that had used diaries was, again, just getting people to tick certain experiences that they'd had from like scale measures. So it's the negative acts questionnaire. But by creating this diary, what I wanted to do was to see the within person variance and see the difference in types of events and experiences that people report that aren't necessarily captured by these readily made scale measures.
Yes, so then go on now to explain how the app fits into that project. I can sort of see already where you're going with it, but why you opted to go down this rather than, say, the more conventional paper-based diary route then?
The reason why I wanted to have a diary is because when people are mistreated at work, the first thing that they're told to do is to keep a record of it. So institutions like ACAS and the CIPD, that's the first thing that they tell people. Keep a record of it, because if you do decide to make a grievance about it, you have basically a record that can help you at tribunal. Laura kind of hinted at this earlier, but one of the risks with paper-based diaries is that people have to carry it around. And I thought it would be a bit of a risk for people who are being mistreated at work to have this paper diary and it being risk being found by someone at work or even someone at home. By allowing people to have it on their phones, it's theirs, it's private, it's password protected. And also I think it gives people ownership of the diary more so than this paper diary that they have to give back. So when I was creating the diary, I wanted it to be a tool that people could use that to record their experience and if they did make a grievance about it. So I think the mobile app gives ownership to participants more so than traditional paper-based diaries.
Fascinating. So talk us through some of the things that have emerged from your project then, some of the key findings.
So I'm in the middle of my diary analysis. So I also conducted a narrative interview. So I've done that analysis and now looking at the diaries, it's really the experiences that people report just do not fit in with the scale measures. It'll be things like, oh, I received an email, and the impact that this has, it seems like a relatively minor event, but it seems to have quite a strong emotional impact. And then also things that you would expect to be more impactful, like an argument or a face-to-face interaction with people, they seem able to cope with that more, which I find quite
very interesting.
Yeah. But it's really showing that within person variance. And there also seems to be a thank goodness it's Friday effect. So people are objectively like having a better time on a Friday just because they know that it's the weekend and they won't have to go into work. And then so a mismatch between perceived severity and the impact of it. And then also, depending on how much people objectively enjoy their work, it seems to attenuate the impact of it. So if they've had a productive day at work, regardless of whether they've had negative interactions, the emotional impact of it and how much they rate the day as being a positive or not so positive day seems to be attenuated by how much they enjoyed the work. So I find that quite interesting.
But I wonder for both of you what you would say the positives have been of or are still of using technology in this way.
I think I've touched on the fact that it's just easier and more efficient in a lot of ways once you get it up and running for the participants and for you, because you don't have to like figure out how you're going to get it back and how you're going to meet. You've, as soon as they have like typed or audio recorded, then it immediately you have it on the back end. So you have all the data straight away. You can start analyzing it. You can, you know, prepare to speak to them again about that because you'll have it straight away. So it's, you know, it stops with some of the time delays around diary research and it's just easier for the participants as well. It also means that if you've got a few people on a research project, then they have that, you know, the password to the back end where you've got data coming in, then you've automatically got, everybody's got the data straight away at the same time rather than finding ways, because it can be quite hard to find ways to share. I think Leanne mentioned an important point that, you know, you suddenly realize the severity and the importance of things that happen that seem quite small day to day. And with the, and you're more likely to capture that with an app diary because the small things that you maybe wouldn't necessarily discuss in an interview that you might get better in a diary, particularly in an app diary where they've got it on them all the time and they can capture those things that are actually having a huge impact. The day-to-day small things that we forget about are the things that are really having the biggest impact.
Leanne, what would you add to that?
Well, for me, in my PhD research, I found that having an app has really opened quite a lot of doors with collaborating organizations, particularly trade unions. So when you're struggling to find people to take part in your research, as I'm sure many PhD students do, I found that having this tangible thing that I can sit with and go through and show the organization has helped me immensely. It's opened quite a lot of doors. So that's been brilliant.
It sounds quite cool and hip, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got an app, people suddenly, oh, you're not just doing other research, there's an app. Well, that's interesting.
So actually, that leads on very nicely to my next question. So I wonder whether you think collecting people's data in this way will become more of the norm or have we got a bit of a long way to go as yet?
I think it will become the norm, but I think there's a lot of training that is required. So when Laura and I were speaking earlier, it was like we were going in blind to all these things. We recently attended an NCRM workshop in Leeds with Dr. Chris Birchall on coding simple smartphone apps. And if we had known about that maybe 2 years ago, that would have been great.
It would have.
And also things like training on the ethics and data protection when using this kind of data collection method, because again, there is a lot to get to grips with. And I think before it becomes the norm, training and doctoral training needs to include this.
I don't think that necessarily universities or research centres have caught up yet, that this is, you know, we're still playing catch up a little bit, because more and more PhD students are wanting to use some kind of app for all kinds of different projects, for all reasons. And I think seeing whether this has become the norm, I think we'd have to really consider the participants as well in your sample. So obviously for a lot of people, carrying your phones around and, you know, maybe using apps is the norm, and it will increasingly be so. But at the moment, we have to remember that it's not necessarily the norm for everybody. So I think researchers would have to take into consideration who the participants were. From using different kinds of diaries, I've realised that everybody kind of has a different thing they're most comfortable with. And if you want them to do that for you, and it's hard to get participants to keep diaries, you need to give them a bit of the kind of decision, a bit of choice about, you know, what they're most comfortable using. And so I think thinking about your participants is important.
That's fantastic. I just had one final additional question, if I may, just about your presentation at the NCRM Festival, actually. What can people expect? Obviously, they're going to learn from your experiences. But
So we do want to, you know, take them on, during the session, take a bit of a journey through all the different kinds of diaries, and then focusing on leading to the app.
Yeah.
Talking through some of the practicalities. We want to make it quite practical. You know, that's why we would like to create a guide. It doesn't mean it will be a foolproof guide, because it just will alert people to some of the things that we didn't know. So hopefully they can, you know, jump ahead a little bit from where we were when we started off. We'll give some examples. We'll show like Leanne's diary on the, you know, to everybody, so they can see kind of what it would look like.
Having gone to quite a few workshops in our time, we always walk away kind of hoping for really strong practical advice. So I think it's definitely going to have a strong practical element, but also just showing like the genesis of what we did and what we found.
Laura Radcliffe and Leanne Spencer will be presenting their work at the ESRC Research Methods Festival in July. You can find out more about the festival on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.